window, Jimmy.
Hey, Mom.
Jimmy, I don't know how to put this to you, to a little 13-year-old that doesn't know about the world yet, but your stepfather Roger and I are going out on the town tonight.
Yeah, little Jim, don't wait up for us.
Roger, please, there's no need for that kind of language. But anyway, Jimmy, we're going to be back late. I don't know how else you would say it. Yeah, don't wait up for us. And I left some pork and mashed potatoes in the refrigerator for you, my little man.
Okay, Mom, you guys have a good time. I'll be in here, but I'll come out for my pork and mashed potatoes later.
Okay, Jimmy, bye.
Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Pay Church Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. He looks like an activewear male model today. He's got the hair spiked. He's got the jacket on. He's indoors, so I don't know why he's wearing a jacket. I wish I could see those guns, those muscles, that broad neck that sometimes just looks like one muscle from his abs straight up to his neck. It's just like one thick man muscle, but I'm looking at him. He looks great. Chris, you in a good mood? How you doing? That
was the most, I've never heard anyone talk about a neck that way. It's from straight up from your abs to your head is just a thick man. That's amazing. Thick man muscle. I'm going to change my Twitter tag to thick man muscle.
Hope it's not taken.
Yeah, I'm sure it isn't. Yeah. Oh, Jason, it's a wonderful, absolutely wonderful day. All is cheery in the neighborhood. And I am excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Mr. Award-winning Google Ads Manager. Happy to be here with you. And thank you for joining us, dear listeners. You know, Jason, we are pushing 200 now, right? We're on episode 190. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a great audience. We have a good following. And things have changed in all the years that we've been doing this. We're coming up on 4 years. And today, we're going to talk about what it was like when we first started the podcast. And we're going to contrast what we've learned, what's changed. I'm personally excited. I've been messaging Jason about how excited I am. And I'm not kidding. I went back and I've got some clips and things for us to share, and we're going to hashtag remembering AdWords in this episode, because, guys, things have changed. How are we different? How are we managing things different? How do we build things differently? Can we even still relate to the information that we gave 3-4 years ago? Is it even the same world? So we're going to get to that. Before we do that, we're going to talk about optio.com/PSP. Guys, I get messages on Twitter. I get emails. We get forms filled out through the podcast. We get people on Patreon and all over the place talking about Optio. I know our listeners use the tool. They find that it fits the bill for getting things done faster in Google Ads. You want to try it out for a 6-week trial, because who can't use an extra 15 minutes of time when you're not having to click 50 times, but you can do it in 2 clicks, right? All those ad changes, all those bid changes, negative keywords, all that stuff that's just a real grind in Google Ads, you can get it done faster. OPTEO.com/PSP. The reason you want to use that URL is because you get a 6-week extended trial. Just use the little chat box, say, hey, I'm from the PSP. Can I get an extended trial? They'll give it to you because they love you, just like we do. After you go check them out, OPTEO.com/PSP.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Directive Consulting for sponsoring today's episode. Directive Consulting, our go-to recommendation for B2B and enterprise digital marketing campaigns. I have a very special announcement today about Directive Consulting, a new product they launched for all of our listeners, for all of the people in the digital marketing space. And I have a message from Directive. So I want to talk about Matillion. Matillion is an industry-leading provider of cloud-based data integration solutions for platforms such as Amazon, Snowflake, Google, BigQuery. Matillion delivers technology that enables companies to exploit their cloud data, providing simplicity, speed, and scale. Though Matillion is a high-profile, innovative company, they wanted to increase their organic traffic and organic conversions from ideal customers in the data transformation industry. Who doesn't want that? We all want to get more organic traffic and leads. So the directive team focused on establishing Matillion's digital presence by building organic traffic and organic conversions. To achieve growth, they concentrated on brand awareness, link building, and website conversion rate optimization elements to keep visitors on Matillion pages. The directive focus on establishing Matillion's digital authority led to a 2,750% increase in MQL and a 64% increase in organic conversions in one quarter. Here's where this awesome new product comes in. If you want to learn exactly how Directive drives these types of results for their clients, you need to check out their digital marketing course called Institute. They teach you step-by-step, click-by-click, all the necessary skills required to launch your own successful digital marketing campaigns. Sign up today at directiveconsulting.com/institute and you will get 4 lessons free of charge, completely free, 4 lessons. Once again, that's directiveconsulting.com/institute to get your 4 free lessons from the pro. So if you've heard me talk about Directive Consulting, all the things they do, organic, paid, you've heard us on the Paid Search Podcast talk about Google Ads and getting more traffic, you want to learn how to do it yourself, we recommend the Institute from Directive Consulting. They'll show you how to do it step by step with online lessons. directiveconsulting.com/institute, and we will have links to your Opteo free trial and Directive's Institute page on our show description on YouTube and the description in the podcast descriptions on the audio player. So Chris, with that said, what I love doing on the show, I love letting you open the show and you know what our show is about, and then you attempt to explain it to the audience, and then I have to come in like a fourth batter in the lineup. You don't know what that means, but it's a little something called cleanup.
Oh, okay.
And I got to do a little cleanup aisle 7. Someone spilled the mayonnaise because, Chris, what you did not tell our wonderful listeners is that we have clips for them today.
Yeah, well,
of our second ever.
That's the surprise. Yeah.
Chris, I wish I could physically beat you, you know, because like the heck? Then I could hammer home these marketing lessons, because it's like my little student over there, I'm trying to tell you, you know, Chris, if we're going to tell people that we're going to play clips from the second ever episode, and that's what the hashtag Remembering AdWords series is, I want to tell you that, and I want you to take notes. I want you to go, yes, sir, that's a great idea. I'll do better next time. But instead, you go with your big man chest. You go like this. Yeah, well, you know what? I was going to get to that. So, and then you know what that makes me want to do, Chris?
I know.
Makes me want to put one right on beautiful chin. But
bring
I'm not
it.
Going to.
Bring
so,
it.
Chris, we have clips, allegedly. I handed this off to you. I have full faith and confidence that you got it done. But we have clips from our second episode. It was about keywords. We're going to talk about what we said then, what we say now, and how things have changed.
Yeah.
And the reason we're doing hashtag Remembering AdWords is because when we started, the product was called AdWords. All these episodes are back when it was called AdWords. That's what we called in the show. And now it's Google Ads. So we thought that'd be a fun thing to kind of name this series. And if you guys like it, let us know. And we'll keep doing these kind of flashback episodes and seeing what we said. But Chris, before we start, I have a Apple review of the week, 5 stars from the United States of America. Chris, you're going to love this one. This review is from David, and he says, in an ever-expanding sea of time-sucking, mind-numbing podcast, you both managed to delight your audience with fresh, funny, unapologetically honest, pertinent, and actionable advice. Most importantly, you deliver great content consistently week after week. I love it. Thank you so much, David, from the great country of Texas.
Oh,
and their
capital
of that country, Austin, Texas.
Yes. Well, that is, you're right. I did, like, first of all, from a fellow Texan to a fellow Texan. Thank you, sir. Tip my hat. So that's right, Jason. Today we're hashtag remembering AdWords, and it was a surprise, but Jason spoiled it. That's right. We have clips of the rarely heard, never seen episode number 2. And the reason I say never seen is because back then we didn't do videos. It was only audio. And so this is something that you can't see on YouTube. Nobody has access to it unless you go out and purchase, you know, the episode on our store. But that's not what we're here about. We're here about talking about what was it like. How has things changed? Are we surprised by the strategies that we talked about? Do they stand up now? And Jason, without further ado, I'm ready to go. This first clip that I have here is, well, let's talk about it. The name of the episode was about keyword research, and it was about finding the right keywords. So you go back and listen to that episode 2. We're talking about keyword research, what the right kind of keyword is and what they aren't. So at the beginning of the clip, I am discussing the keyword funnel, which if you've listened to the show, I've been talking about keyword funnel since day one. So this is a very common topic. And let's listen to Chris at an early age, about 4 years younger, talk about the keyword funnel. The keyword funnel at the very top are going to be your least valuable keywords. Keywords that are going to get a lot of volume, going to get a whole lot less conversions, and likely a lot of probably cheap traffic because there's not going to be a lot of competition on it. Ideally, you know, just the word shoes is going to have less competition because nobody's really going to advertise just shoes. They're going to advertise black running shoes or something like that. All right. So Jason, there you have it. First of all, you can tell me what you think, but I absolutely think this first clip is absolutely still the standard. It's still the keyword funnel still stands up. The relevance of broad, high funnel keywords being something that has a ton of volume can very easily be accomplished at a very cheap rate, but is not valuable, whereas the very bottom of the funnel is expensive but valuable. And I think that is still absolutely 100% true. And I'm, you know, we haven't really gotten into the system of Google Ads yet, but that theory, I don't see how it could ever change because that's the system of the search. When someone searches for something very broad, it's cheap and there's lots of volume. When they search for something very specific, it's expensive and there's value.
Yeah, I think the funnel that you introduced me to and introduced our audience to very early on still plays a role with everything I do to this day, 4 years later. There's a few core concepts we talk about on the show. The funnel is one of them, and the kind of looser, not as ready to call in potentially and become a client or customer keywords and searches at the top, and there's more of them, the funnel's larger, you get down to the bottom, the traffic's more valuable. And the example we gave on that episode, we were talking about a CPA firm. So like someone might have a CPA firm in Dallas, and if someone does CPA companies in Dallas, CPAs in Dallas, CPA firms in Dallas, that's someone who is in Dallas ready to call someone and go in there. A higher funnel search might be like ways to save money on my taxes. That's like extreme high funnel. But if you don't have your keyword targeting right, you could show up on that. Another high funnel thing with specifically CPAs, Chris, is if someone searches for exactly a very unique tax deduction that maybe only, literally only maybe 30 people in Dallas search for every year, because there's only 30 people that A, have that kind of income coming in and are even thinking about that deduction, B, know about it, and C, actually have that situation where they could claim that kind of deduction. There's a lot of searches like that with the CPA, and any kind of industry has a lot of unique searches like that that are kind of high funnel. They're very valuable to show up on because if you do show up on it, someone's going to be like, oh, wow, that's great information. I'm definitely clicking on that. Organic or paid. Now, the question is that person doing research going to call in and become a paying client for years to come? And is that worth the ad budget if you have a limited budget? I think that's where that comes in. So I still love the funnel. I still think about the funnel. I think my thoughts on the funnel are, the first one is, I think I've loosened up, honestly, in terms of respect for mid-funnel and high-funnel. I think I was a little bit militant when we started the show, just to be honest. I was in that mindset of, I learned a new skill set because I sharpened my tools here and I know more about most people about Google Ads. I'm seeing the benefits of focusing on the low-volume stuff, and I'm going to preach that on the show. Still believe in it, but I definitely think I've loosened up middle funnel and high funnel. And I have seen with different bidding, with different strategies, with different marketing systems where you get someone warm and get them on a list and you remarket them, stuff pays off higher and in the mid funnel if you have the budget for it, if you have the strategy for it. So I think that's the one thing that's changed with me. How do you feel about that, Chris? I know you'd say, yeah, you do seem like you loosened up on it, but how about for you? Were you militant like I was back then about the deep in the funnel, and have you loosened up at all, or are you still militant?
Yeah, there's actually a clip. I don't know if this is part of the collection of clips that I have, but at one point, if you listen to the show, at one point, I literally say in the clip, I say, I'm never going to go after that absolute top of funnel, high volume stuff. I say that specifically. Wow. I'm never. Wow. I say I never. That's militant. That is, yeah, that's militant. I absolutely disagree with that now. I absolutely do.
Wow.
I mean, it's sometimes it is valuable. There is value in it. But the thing that hasn't changed is, of course, I recognize the value of that traffic. I don't consider it to be winning traffic. I just consider it to be something worth testing that I then control it with bids. I control it with volume. I don't let the spend get out of hand. But absolutely,
it's like a tool you have in your toolkit now, to a better extent. That's what I think about myself.
Yeah, and that actually, I have it written down here. I'm never going to go after those high funnel searches. Quote Chris, 2016.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the biggest takeaway with the funnel. Is like, I think both of us still respect the funnel. We still think about it every time we're talking to new clients about like trying to explain to them how Google Ads works, why running campaigns with us would be different than they've experienced in the past, because we focus on those lower funnel keywords primarily. But I do think it's kind of a positive quality on both of us that we, A, can at least admit that we've evolved, and then B, that we have evolved. And it's not, like you're saying, it's not to say we just kick it off with loose, broad, match, modified and see what we get. No, it's not like that. But we now have a different tool in our toolkit, and we know if we need to go high funnel, we know it's an option. It's a viable option, and there's certain ways to do it. And that could be, Chris, one thing I think is going to come from this Remembering AdWords series. So many different episodes, ideas are going to come out of this, because I just thought like, okay, if high funnel keywords are part of your toolkit now, how do you go after those? What's the strategy? What do you do with match types? What do you do with bids? All that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of interesting things are going to come out of this.
All right, let's go to clip two, which is, again, about high funnel searches.
People would be shocked to know how often search users click on ads that they, it seems like, have no intent of actually calling the business. So if someone's, you could show your CPA ad on the search, when are my taxes due? A lot of people are going to click on that ad, cost you money, and then just try to get some information on your site. So I agree with you. That top level, the informational searches, you get a little bit of benefit from branding and being seen every time someone does a search related to your industry on Google. But the benefit of that is probably heavily outweighed for most advertisers with the cost of getting clicks that aren't going to turn into customers.
You see, Chris, that's exactly what I was saying. The top of funnel sucks. I would never do it. And you got to focus on bottom of funnel. Now people are frustrated. They're like, well, which one is it?
Well, no, I think, Chris, I think hearing my voice back then, I still agree with that as well. Like, I do think a ton of traffic is going to be wasted. A ton of click is going to be wasted. A ton of budget's going to be wasted if you're not trying to do this high funnel thing and you end up targeting or showing up on it. I still think that applies. I still think tons of people click on ads, not realizing they're ads or just trying to get information. And unless you have a mindset of trying to get that traffic and you have a strategy for how to convert that traffic or bid low enough or whatever, you are going to waste a lot of budget if you're not careful about high funnel. I still think that is true as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The main thing that I was struck by this click is that when you say, not so much the high funnel discussion, but more about people would be surprised how many times people click and they don't have any idea what the ad is actually saying or where they're going or the reason for the click. They just click. And hashtag remembering AdWords, absolutely still true. People still click on ads without reading them, without looking at them. They search for something that absolutely has nothing to do with what they're searching for. And it's to our fault to even show up on those, but it happens. And they click on those, and it's still true. There's no better solution than what it was back then. And it's just getting better control of your keywords.
You know what I wish I could do? And it's probably, I just wish I could do this, is I wish I could get inside people's cameras on their phones, not the one that faces the out back of the phone, but the one that faces the face, you know? And I wish I could see the drool and the dead stare that these people do when they search on Google on their phone. Like, because here's the deal, Chris. I know we're in the industry. We know what an ad is. We know what organic is. But do you ever just like click on ads or click on organic listings and not know what you're like? No, like we always know what we're clicking on. And I think most people we interact with in our day-to-day lives, you know, just family and friends, are people of a certain level of intelligence. And it's hard to picture the people I know just like drooling over their phone going, just like clicking on anything. Just because it's shiny. Yeah. But if you look at the search terms on a high funnel campaign, if you look at the bounce rates, if you just look at how much click volume there is out there, it does seem, again, I've never seen one of these species in the wild doing it naturally because I'm not in their camera phone. And
I've seen it.
I haven't been next to them. But well, Chris, you've seen one up close. What do these animals look like?
Well,
like,
I mean, usually it's from what my experience, you know, a loved one that I've watched use the internet, specifically Google, because I'm interested. You know, it's my career. I'm interested to see what they do and what it's like. And I watch them, and it happens. I totally understand the 1 second bounce rate, you know, or the 1 second time on site, because I watch them like click back, click back, click. Oh, there it is.
All right. Well, break down the film for me. But they do a search, right?
Right. They do a search, and then they just click the first.
And then let's say they're on a phone, and then the first thing comes up. It's pretty big on the phone above the fold, takes up most of the screen. They do a search, and then does the ad have to say what they search for?
Oh, Jason, no.
Like all these little skaggers want to see?
No, there's no way they had time to read it, right? Because this moment it leads, or the moment that the page loads, it's like click. You know, they don't look at
really?
It. Yeah, because they trust
really?
Google. The people use it as a bookmarking system. They type something, and they think the first thing that shows is what I want. Click. Oh, what is this? Why am I
on this? You're at the grocery store, and you're picking out a melon, right? And the melons are in front of you. And you know, if you put your hand forward and grab whatever you touch, it's going to be a melon because you're looking at a tray of melons. And you grab one and it's like, oh, it's too squishy, not ripe, whatever. You put it back. Then you grab another one. You're like, oh, just perfect. You put it in your cart. Mm-hmm. Is that what people do with Google searches? They just believe no matter what, when they search, that's basically the topics they're going to get back because Google's so accurate, 99.99 whatever percent of the time. So they grab the melon, and then they don't even care to look at it. They're just like feeling it. Like they go to the site, they're just like, oh, not what I wanted back.
Yeah. 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 Because it's a free system. And most people don't understand that just costs someone $3, $30, $100. You know, like who knows what they're searching
for? $972. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to. Yeah, that is, that's what, I have one more thing. And now this one is not so much about hashtag remembering AdWords. It's hashtag remembering Jason. Let's listen closely. See if you can notice.
I haven't heard these clips, by the way.
Yeah. I love this one. If you can take a bunch of keywords, throw them at Google, say, okay, here's what I have, and then look back at that and optimize that and cut out the stuff that doesn't work, add negative keywords, all these other things, that is a real skill of an AdWords manager, not just awareness and branding. That's it. What Jason said. So I'm talking about, you know, success and all this stuff. But what really struck me when I was listening to this is Jason said, so we have about a minute left in this segment before we move on. Hashtag remembering Jason. Like I remembered we used to have timestamps and like the amount of time we would have in each section. So we would plan it to end in 30 minutes. That's more of an internal, like, inside joke, but that made me laugh so much because that Jason is gone. Timestamps and time requirements on the show, that's out the window. But that really,
Chris, one day I just want to shock the people and I want to do a 3-hour podcast with you. And I just want to show you the love and response that we would get from that.
Okay.
And, one day I'll just hypnotize you.
If you use remembering AdWords hashtag and you let us know about that, you know, maybe we can, if you really want that, we'll consider it. I'll get my energy drink and we'll try and make it through.
Let's just do like a once a year, New Year's Eve, like a Jimmy pajama party, like Jimmy and his mom and Roger, the stepdad. And we'll just do like a 3-hour podcast.
Okay. I'll bring my energy drink and we'll get through it. All right. So let's go into the next clip. The next clip is about the first steps of keyword research. Now we're really getting into remembering AdWords. So one of the first things I do is look at the client's website. So I look at the website, try and figure out what messaging do they consider most important. That's it, right? That one's short and sweet.
Whoa, that's the first step.
That's the first step.
That's what we said the first step
is. That's what I said the first step of keyword research was. Does that still hold up? Hashtag remembering AdWords.
That's some good advice. I need to take that.
Yes, you do that. Don't act like you don't.
No, I don't.
What?
No, of course I do that with the new industry. But you know what's happened in the last 4 years is I've become a specialist inside of a specialized industry. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I work for some industries over and over, and I already know all the keywords. So I have not done that in a while. And well, I've done it, but you know what? I haven't made an intent to do it. Like, but what happens is on these industries where I work over and over and I think I'm the big daddy and I know all the keywords. What happens sometimes is I'll be doing ad copy work, right? And I'll go to their website and I'll get some pages for landing pages, all that kind of stuff. And then I'll scan through their menu and I'll be like, oh, wait a second. We're not targeting that service. Like, I need to be targeting that. And then I throw in some keywords for it. And you're right. That's good advice. Like, step number one needs, even if it's an industry you work in over and over, it needs to be going to that individual client's website and looking at what that individual client lists as their services. I think that's great advice. The one hole, Chris, is I work with a lot of movers, not necessarily known for their website skills. I think you could say, most people would say that's more than fair to say. And a lot of times people don't list all their services on their website, mistakenly, I think. So that's kind of a pitfall with that one. But yeah, that's great advice. Do you still do that as step number one all the time?
Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily work in a certain industry a whole lot, but you're right. This can certainly be a fault if you work in it enough that you just think you already know. But yeah, it's typically my first thing I do, because I usually pull up the website, look at the services tab, and then just start making notes. This one, this one, this one, this one, you know. So a good example of this is pest control services. If you're working with a pest control service company, you might pull up services and it says animals, and then there's like 10 different animals that they service. There you go. You just came up with 10 new ad groups that you would probably need to focus, because they have individual pages for each one of those. All right, let's go to clip 5, Jason, hashtag remembering AdWords, the keyword planner. Oh boy. One of the ways that I use the keyword planner is I take the URL of that service page, typically not the homepage. I usually like to dig in and go to the service page, drop that into the keyword planner, and see what keywords it comes back with. That does not hold up for me at all. I absolutely do not use the keyword planner in any way, shape, or form in the way that I used to use it before. I've talked about how I build ad groups now on the show previously. Short and sweet is basically create an ad, create a couple broad keywords, then use the little blue button to look at what keywords populate in the suggestion tool. But keyword planner, not really on my radar at all anymore. I don't use it. That changed when basically I preferred the automated keyword suggestion tool that populated based on the URL of the ad and the keywords that I've populated into the ad group itself. So that one doesn't stand up. How about you? Is that surprising? Is that still something you do?
This is just like the last one, Chris, where I've gotten so good at what I do, I'm using shortcuts, and obviously I'm doing fine, but my thing is, I think the Keyword Planner in its current state has a lot to offer, and I made a training video actually for our channel, the Paid Search Podcast YouTube channel, where I did a pretty extensive screen share video about training in the Keyword Planner, and it's hard for me to even remember the old one that much, but the new one, it took a little while to get used to, but it has a lot of cool features. It really does. Like, so no, I don't use it that much, because what I do, Chris, is like you're saying, you look at the client's website, my biggest thing is I go to Google and I do searches. Like, I just do searches and I look at the related searches at the bottom. I look at the suggestions, and then just based on my experience, I'm able to come up with a lot of keywords and different ad group ideas. And then, like you're saying, single ad group campaigns or whatever we're calling it, you throw those in there, protect your quality, but you can get a lot of search term data. And most of my keyword building is just based on search terms that come in and then expanding them. And then also just common sense and knowledge I've built up. But I do think going to the Keyword Planner, even for experienced users like myself, it should be something on the checklist just to go in there. And specifically what I like doing, Chris, is over on the left sidebar, grouped ideas. Like if you type a word like movers in there and then you go to grouped ideas, they'll group all the different ways they want to present to you that people search for movers. You can get a lot of good negative keywords. If you don't want to target competitors, you'll see who the bigger search competitors are and get their negatives right from the start. It'll have things in there like, oh, people search for long distance. They search for office moves. And it just kind of, I like kind of double checking my work with that grouped ideas feature of the current Keyword Planner. And I don't even remember if that used to be in the old one or not, but I like the Keyword Planner, but I probably don't use it enough.
If I remember the old planner, it was a drop down. They didn't have a grouped system. They had a drop down system where they would have topic and then a tree that you could expand, and it would show all the 10 keywords in that topic, which was wonderful. But okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Different strategies there, but that's why I love to be here, is because we can each have different tactics on that. This next one.
Can I say one thing, Chris? Can I say one thing about the Keyword Planner? I like how they have broadened your search. They give you more ideas, like the words relocation, household moving, all that kind of stuff. But there's still some weird things in there. Like I type in movers OKC, location set to Oklahoma City, and one of the suggestions is movers Philadelphia. So yes, I know someone might be searching for movers in Philadelphia from Oklahoma City. I get that. But that's just one thing. I'm not seeing it so much with the current one, but definitely with the old one, they would give you some weird location keywords that were high volume generally. But even that said, I think everything is way more improved. So my takeaway from the Keyword Planner, Chris, the new Keyword Planner is like, I'd say at least double or three times better than the old one.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's get into something that I don't think is going to be too controversial, but I thought it was an interesting clip. Number two is coming up with the kind of keywords that you may not have thought of, right? This is the beginning of the keyword research. So what you don't do is you don't suddenly grab 50, 60, 70 of these keywords and copy and paste them into an ad group. What you do is, I like to have a piece of paper. You know, I have my big writing tablet that I usually come up with ideas on. And I start generating themes, right? I look at what's on that web page. I look at the keywords that Google returns, and I start generating things. Okay, CPA. So geoterms is a theme. Business CPA, right? Someone, or a personal CPA, someone who's doing personal returns.
Jason, that absolutely is something we talk about all the time. Themed ad groups. I mean, we've done entire multiple episodes on that. I wouldn't say that it's too controversial at all. That absolutely holds up, hashtag remembering AdWords, because themed ad groups is something I still do and will continue to do as long as it's a viable solution. One thing that I have changed on is I used to build campaigns with 15, 20, 30 ad groups for all the different themes that I can possibly think of. And that's
embarrassing.
That's gone. That is absolutely not the case. I mean, I just got off the phone before we started recording here with a client. I built his new campaign for him. Jason, it had like 4 ad groups in it, you know, and I was proud to show it to him. Question for
you. You were proud to show. You stood outside that liquor store and you surprised people in your trench coat and you were just proud to show it to them. But my question is, Chris, did they want to see it? That's what I'm asking here. So when you showed that to him and he was like, oh, you're the great Chris Schaefer, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, all right, hey, Bill, here we go. Here's what I got for you. Open up that trench coat.
Boom.
Did he go, wow, this is genius, Chris. Like the way you've just simplified this process and you're actually going to get me great results and know what you're going to do and it's going to grow over time. And I can see that right from the start and you're different than anybody I've worked with before. And I can see that with your small number of ad groups. Did you get that response or did you get, I was maybe wondering why you only had 4. What's the response been with when people see the simplified, themed, but simple ad group structure, especially at the beginning? I'll tell you mine, but you tell me yours.
Yeah.
What's the response you're getting?
The response with with such a change from before with smaller ad groups is they never say, oh, this is so efficient, this is great. I mean, they never say that because they're not paying me to do what they can do, but do it more efficiently, right? They're paying me to do what they can't do. So as long as those 4, 3, 5 ad groups contain all of the arenas they want to play ball in, then we're good, right? But if I only showed him 4 ad groups and he's like, hey, where's this? You know, I don't see any keywords around this. As long as those hit and they all cover the areas he wants to focus on and he knows that it's going to grow and change over time, then we're good. So that's usually the response that I get. As long as I'm hitting those, then they don't care.
So I have 2 responses from individual clients. They don't care because that's why they're hiring me, because they trust me. They know my job is to get Google Ads results. And if I told them with my mouth, we're going to show up on these different searches, trust me, like we will, then that's all they want to hear. Like they know I'm showing up, I'm going to show their ads on the right searches and they're confident in that. The one area where I get some pushback is when I work for agencies and they look at the campaigns I build and some of them just flat out say, like, it sounds like they're still in sell mode. And they're like, I told the client, they literally say this. I told the client, we're going to make this awesome. We're going to build it out so great. And this is it. This is it. We got to build this out to the, I don't even know the stupid phrases they use, but like to the, I don't even know what they say, but it's like to the max or all the nines or something
ninja.
About the nines.
We're
or,
ninjas. We're going to have amazing ninja skills in Google Ads. This isn't ninja style. There's only 4, you know, super. I got to be a superstar. So
then I have to battle.
Star.
Well, like I have, well, that's like, that's why I'm managing the campaign and you're not. Yeah. And like, I just shut up. I'm like, let me do my thing or don't. And I'll be gone. Like, that's fine with me, you know, like, but I'm not bending on that. Like the reason I do these small, when possible, number of ad groups and themed ad groups is because that is what allows for amazing performance and management as we start getting data. Chris, you would be shocked at some of the things I'm forced to do by different agencies and clients where they have different strategies set up and basically, the result is the number of campaigns and ad groups gets multiplied by a number that would make you throw up. And I was thinking about the other day, I was patting myself on the back like I'm known to do. And I was like, you know what, Jason, you're doing such a great job, despite the fact that these clowns are holding back the campaign with their stupid structure that they that there's just no, they're making me do it, you know? So the whole short number of ad groups, themed ad groups, to me, the biggest part of that is for the management that comes, and it definitely yields results there. But having too many keywords, us saying that 4 years ago, the only kind of feedback I would give myself then is I would come into the room, I would smack the back of my head, and I would say, hey, dummy, like it's going to take you 4 years to learn this lesson.
Yep.
It doesn't have to, but it's going to, and you should be learning it right now, because that, I think, that's one of the biggest things I've changed over the years is too many keywords, too many ad groups, too many campaigns. It doesn't pay off.
Yeah. All right. This next one, we have Jason who says something very specific, and I want to know, does it hashtag remembering AdWords still hold up? So here we go.
But I take an Excel spreadsheet. I combine a word like CPA or a word like CPA in with a list of all the different suburbs and geo keywords like Houston, Sugarland, Woodlands. And I use Excel to combine every single one of those combinations. I put that long list in Google and find any of the different combinations that people are searching for. It's an advanced thing to do.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to get into the formulas in Excel and all that. But the mindset is using the keyword planner to find every single kind of combination of those money keywords that Chris was talking about, those really relevant keywords.
I've upset Jason because I literally let him lead into how he would slap him himself in the head, and then I play back the old Jason that
you know what kind of strategy that is, Chris? That's it. This is what a banana would look like if it was using that kind of stupid strategy. Now I will say, Chris,
Excel, Jason. Here's old school remembering hashtag remembering AdWords. Jason cracks out his Excel spreadsheet and starts cranking out an advanced strategy. I just love that one because Jason absolutely has emerged from a cocoon of advanced cellular to what he is now, the lazy man.
Hey, but you know what, Chris? After listening to that, I might go back to that just for the sake of selling clients and sounding more smarter than people. Because, like, I was listening to that and I was like, okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, number one.
But so it sounds let's get
that out of the way. Obviously, I don't agree with that because that's stupid. That's not the way I build campaigns anymore. But, man, does that sound good? Does that not sound like, whoa, you do that with Excel when you do?
Wow.
That's not what I do when I did my own campaign. I need to hire you.
Yep.
Yeah, so
that's a pitch.
There's agencies that do that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to this day, that's the kind of stuff they talk about on their calls.
So to be clear, that's funny, and it upsets Jason because it is the absolute polar opposite of what we were talking about. Too many keywords, by definition, means pulling out your Excel spreadsheet and having it automatically multiply and add hundreds and hundreds of variations, and then creating multitudes of keywords and ad groups, and then writing tons and tons
of ads. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous because the system does a lot of that for you. And also, it kind of screws up the system. Like if you've got literally 15 or 20 keywords that all basically could be triggered by the same search, then you're just multiplying your data out and not getting good data to make decisions on. So I don't do that at all anymore. But Chris, it does not sound dated at all.
No, it doesn't.
When I think about the way agencies sell to people.
That's a good point. It's not dated. It's just, it's dated for us as far as our strategy and our knowledge and our experience. So hashtag remembering AdWords, it's totally, you could go out there and search AdWords keyword Excel strategies or Google Ads keyword, you know, Excel strategies, and there would be blogs and blogs and blogs and YouTube videos about that kind of stuff. Absolutely. People still do it. Personally, we don't. We don't believe in it anymore.
I just can't get the words out of my mouth when I'm talking to potential clients to kind of behave that way.
Well, I can't lie.
I just can't even act like that.
I'm not going to lie to them and make them think that, it's absolutely just not what I'm going to do. All right. So we have a couple more, but first we got to tell you about what you're missing out on by not checking out OPTEO.com/PSP for your 6-week extended trial. Great system. Get things done faster. So you have ads, bids, negative keywords. You want to know, are your budgets going to end up where they need to be? Are there any alerts on your account about CPAs or return on ad spend that's not hitting the goal? You want to see things outside of the standard Google Ads interface? This is the tool for you. Great system. Lots of our listeners have tried it and liked it and continue to use it to this day. I personally hear from people just this week on Twitter, people talking about it. So OPTEO.com/PSP to get your 6-week extended trial. Just chat them up on there. Say, hey, can I have my extended trial, please? They'll say, yes, sir. And you're good to go.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank directiveconsulting.com and tell everyone to go over to directiveconsulting.com/institute and check out their new step-by-step digital marketing training guide that you can access and get 4 free lessons right now. PPC, SEO, conversion rate optimization, analytics and optimization. They have over 40 videos, 13 hours of content. The pricing, I think, is awesome. And if you're in the industry and you want to see what other people are doing and brush up your skills, if you're in-house and want to learn as quickly as possible, if you're a student and you want to acquire the skills that employers need in today's workplace when it comes to marketing, check out directiveconsulting.com/institute. PPC, SEO, analytics, conversion rate optimization, training videos, training guides, step by step. You can learn how to do it all. And when you sign up, you'll get free 4 lessons today. 4 free lessons today. Sign up at directiveconsulting.com/institute.
All right, Jason, we have 2 more clips, and these clips are hot takes that are not going to be available to the general public. If you want to hear these last 2, which are a bit more controversial, you got to go to our Patreon and sign up for our after show extended discussion. $2 a month for the audio feed, $4 a month for the video feed. Very affordable, and especially it's going to be valuable for those out there that are in the Google Ads industry, that are in the marketing industry, that are in the PPC industry, because we talk about in industry stuff a lot there, which we have some really hot topics to talk about today. So be sure and check that out. And we appreciate you listening this week. We appreciate all the listeners that are with us on our main show, and we will catch you guys next week.